Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on this, I almost said Football Friday. It's not. It's a Baseball Friday. That's right. The New York Yankees are back in the World Series. It's game day. We have finally made it. I've been waiting all week. It's ridiculous, stupid layoff. It's finally here. Yankees, Dodgers, in what promises to be one of the more exciting World Series we've seen in a while. And I know around here we had hopes for a little bit of a Subway Series, and that would have been amazing. But this World Series, if we could just put that aside, this World Series, Yankees, Dodgers, and all the superstars, and all the MVPs, and all the possible Hall of Famers, and the history of these two teams in the World Series, the two coasts, we've seen already the ticket prices through the roof. Just the excitement built around this game that, you know, I don't know if it's built or started to wane at this point, but finally, we are here on a Friday morning getting ready for game one of the World Series, the New York Yankees versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I've been waiting to do this specifically when Cole got game one, and you knew he would once it was this long layoff. And they took care of the Guardians without needing them twice. You know, I wanted to talk about, and I've been waiting to do it all week, the two Yankees whose Yankee legacy, for lack of a better term, their careers here in this city, on this team, are on the line in many ways. And their greatness, to whatever extent, is going to be either justified or forever questioned based on this World Series. And with a little bit of a different twinge to both of them. And for me, we'll get to Judge in just a second. But I think Gerrit Cole could quite possibly be the most important figure in this entire series. And depending on how he goes, could determine the winner of this World Series even more than Aaron Judge one way or another. I've talked about the matchup. I'll continue to talk about the matchup, the bullpen, the starting rotation, how deep they go into the games. And the one guy you could trust on to go deep into the game is Gerrit Cole. But more than just the World Series, as we look at it as Yankee fans, and we look at Yankee greats, and so many guys want to call up and compare them to greats, and is he this, is he that? Gerrit Cole, there's a lot of pressure on Gerrit Cole to justify who he is in this Yankee tenure. And these two players specifically, like, how many times have we heard over the last few years, you got to take advantage of the Cole Judge prime. You have to take advantage of having the great starting pitcher and the great hitter in the prime of their careers, and shame on Brian Cashman, and shame on Hal Steinbrenner, and shame on everybody else that has anything to do with this team for not taking advantage of the primes of these two careers in Yankee uniforms and not getting back to the World Series and not winning a championship with these two. And if this tenure ends, if the prime of these two great players ends without a championship, it will go down as one of the more disappointing tenures in Yankee history. And that still stands. They are four wins away from that, as much as, and there's another conversation we had, and we will later today, 888-808-1019, about whether or not the Yankees need to win this World Series to feel like this season was somewhat of a success. Does Brian Cashman need this World Series to get the fan base off his back? These two players need a championship if they are going to go down as great New York Yankees. There is no other way about it. They absolutely have to. And Gerrit Cole specifically, because he was great prior to being in a Yankee uniform, because he was in this game, in this series, without winning it, but with a different organization. And I start there when they took Gerrit Cole away from their biggest competitor. When they went out there after the 2018 season, after having lost an ALCS to the Houston Astros, after having lost the ALDS to the Boston Red Sox, after having lost again the ALCS to the Houston Astros with Gerrit Cole in tow, watching them go on and take on the Nationals in the World Series, after that 2019 season, after the Yankees were just two games away, after the Yankees were yet again not good enough compared to the Houston Astros, the Yankees went out, Hal Steinbrenner went out, and does what he does more than the fans want to give him credit for, went out there and got the superstar. 2018, it was Giancarlo Stanton, and there's plenty to talk about him, and we will. But after 2019, they went out and stole away the great starting pitcher in this league. Went out there and paid him more money than any other team, than any other starting pitcher in this league. And that was supposed to be the missing piece. They had the young pieces. They had the lineup. They had the Aaron Judge. They had the Giancarlo Stanton. They had the offense you expected to be good enough. What was missing was that ace to secure down a rotation. And since that moment, we have seen more ALCSs from the Houston Astros. We have seen more failures against the Houston Astros. We have yet to get to this point. We've seen amazing success from Gerrit Cole. We've seen a Cy Young from Gerrit Cole. We've seen him do what he does, one of the more durable pitchers in the start in the rotation in baseball, one of those guys who you can count on, no doubt about it. But ultimately, it's about winning. And specifically, the New York Yankees, in the position they were in, already good enough to take the Astros to Game 6, they were missing one piece. He was brought here in an era where, unlike his father, and I do hate that conversation, but unlike his father, Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to spend all this money. Hal Steinbrenner isn't out buying every single star. Every single free agency and period isn't laden with just picking up the best. He does go out and get the stars. He pays for these two players. He pays for the superstars when he needs to. And specifically, Gerrit Cole was brought here to be the difference maker in a championship run. And that run has been rather underwhelming. Whether it's his fault or not. But the fact of the matter is, when you get paid this much money, when you are the ace starting pitcher, when you live up to that billing in many different ways, including winning a Cy Young, having great regular seasons, but you have moments of failure in the postseason, like the wild card game in Boston. You have moments where it's not quite good enough. You lose a Game 5 on the mound to the Tampa Bay Rays, even though he pitched fine in that game. Ultimately a loss for the New York Yankees. There hasn't been enough postseason success in what was supposed to be the final piece of a championship team. That 17 core that was built up further in 18 with Giancarlo Stanton, built up further in 19 with the real emergence of some of the young players that came up in Gleyber Torres, and you saw more of Sanchez. And while all of those stories and the failings around him have been much more of the reason why the Yankees haven't won, the fact of the matter is, tonight, Game 1 of the World Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers in a pitching matchup that we have seen throughout this postseason and we are going to see in this World Series, starting pitching in many ways becoming more and more irrelevant, becoming more and more unimportant, becoming more and more quick to get to the big arms in the bullpen. Less innings from starters, less importance from starters, super bullpens built up to try and capture you championships, and figuring out how to not let Ohtani see the same pitcher twice, and you don't want to get through the lineup the third time. So much of that going on throughout the course of this postseason, not just what we're going to see in this World Series. And there is one guy, unlike every other player in the rotation for either of these teams, there is one guy who has consistently gone deep into games in his career, one guy who's capable of it, and one guy who could be the difference maker in this series compared to all others. Because I'm going to get into Judge in a minute here, but there's Judge. He's a great hitter. So is Juan Soto. He might be the best hitter, Aaron Judge. Juan Soto is phenomenal and great and a Hall of Famer and a superstar and is about to make more money than anyone possibly in the history of the sport. Ohtani is an incredible hitter. First player to go 50-50. He's going to win his second MVP. He's going to win his third MVP. And this one is a DH without the added benefit of being a starting pitcher. Freddie Freeman is a Hall of Famer, MVP, World Series champion. Mookie Betts, MVP, Hall of Famer, World Series champion. There are many great hitters in this series. You could argue there is one Gerrit Cole. Now, Yamamoto may become that. But in his first year, plagued by injuries, he's not that right now. There is one difference maker. The guy who was brought here in 2019 to be the difference maker has an opportunity tonight in this series to be the difference maker. And while it hasn't become a big story around this series, there's a chance he pitches three times in this series. You could see him on short rest twice. At the bare minimum, you could see him coming out of the bullpen in a Game 7 situation. There is a chance Gerrit Cole has a chance to impact three different games of this seven-game World Series. I think there is a strong argument that he is the most important New York Yankee heading into today, heading into this series, heading into Game 1. And if he goes out there and does what he's supposed to do and gives the Yankees a victory and guarantees them at minimum a split heading back home for Game 3, considering the pitching matchups here in this series, that could be the difference between winning and losing this series. I think this game, Gerrit Cole, is as important a game and a player that they will see all series long. He was brought here in 2019 to be the difference maker. He was brought here in 2019 and paid more money than any starting pitcher in history to be the guy to put the Yankees over the top. This isn't necessarily about Yankee legacy and greatness the way it is for Judge. It's not about Monument Park the way it is for Judge. He's not a homegrown Yankee like Aaron Judge is. It's a little bit of a difference. He's not as great as he's been. He's not a historical figure the way Aaron Judge is. He's just one of many superstars brought here to be the difference maker, like CC Sabathia was. And he delivered year one. And he will forever be loved in this town. And he has a very good chance. In fact, I think he will be a Hall of Famer, and he probably will go in a Yankee uniform. But he's not one of the greats in the history of the sport. He's just an unbelievable starting pitcher who was brought here to change the dynamic of the club and be someone who can bring a championship back to the Bronx, and that's what he did. And that's what Gerrit Cole has to do. This isn't about monuments. It's not about Yankee legacy. It's about his personal legacy. And it's about if he's good enough to be that piece brought here to bring a championship, like Catfish Hunter, like CC Sabathia. Guys brought here after time periods of not winning and being that piece that changes who they are and how successful they can be in the postseason and into the World Series. That's what's on the table tonight for Gerrit Cole. And then you get to, obviously, the great one in Aaron Judge. And his legacy is on the line, and I just kind of explained there in a different way. This is about what kind of all-time player he is. This is about what kind of all-time great Yankee he is. This is the legacy of what we know has been and what will continue to be one of the greatest players we have ever seen. And that's not hyperbole. This guy just had arguably the greatest season a right-handed hitter has ever had in the history of baseball. That's how good he is. He's one of the few players to have multiple 50 home run games. He's one of the He's one of the rare hitters. I mean, this guy is competing for triple crowns on a yearly basis. He is going to Monument Park. He is the Yankee captain. He is someone who could have left, chose to stay in free agency, got massive amounts of money, is the leader of this team, someone the entire team looks up to, someone the fan base can get behind as a homegrown Yankee. This is about what kind of feelings you have as you look at the monument of Aaron Judge that will be there, no doubt. He is a Hall of Fame player. He's going to Monument Park. Whether he wins these games or not, it's about how we feel about it when we pass that monument. Because if he comes up small yet again and proceeds to give the fan base a reason to doubt him as one of the great players, to give this fan base a reason to say, great player, but couldn't do it in the clutch. He's no Derek Jeter. Like, I get call after call after call. This is an opportunity on the biggest stage against the biggest opponent possible. Measuring up against the other great players of the generation. Make no mistake. Judge and Ohtani are the two best players in baseball. They're going to be measured up in this series. It's going to be a major talking point. Yes, Juan Soto's terrific. Yes, they have other Hall of Famers in the series. Those are the two best players in baseball. Those are the two MVPs this season. And because of his lack of success in the postseason up until this point, and as I said before to start this open, the feeling of ruining his prime, it's up to him now. Even with the struggles, you could always point to the failings of the New York Yankees. You could point to the not all-in nature of Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner. And you can always point to, you know, the Astros are better and the Yankees aren't very good and the Yankees didn't do enough to build this team and blah, 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 and they can't even get back to the World Series. He has no excuses. They added another great player in Juan Soto. They are here in the World Series. He has underperformed. They have got here, not despite of him because he's had a couple of big moments and he hasn't been god-awful, but they have got here on the backs in many ways of other players, of Giancarlo Stanton, of Juan Soto namely. It's no longer about what the Yankees can do to secure success during his prime. His prime is now, and it's up to him to decide what kind of Yankee legacy he's going to have. And it's right there before him. And it's not an easy matchup, and they're going to do everything they can to make it difficult for him. I don't know if he's going to see more than one pitcher in a game, you know, have more than one at-bat against a single pitcher in a single game this series. This is how they play it. But the fact of the matter is these two players are going for Yankee legacy and Yankee greatness. And Aaron Judge, without question, is the greatest Yankee player to don the uniform since Mickey Mantle. I don't think there's an argument. He is the most talented player to play for the franchise since Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle hit home runs in the World Series. Mickey Mantle won championships. We compared the two of them and him to Ruth and Gehrig. They won championships. Babe Ruth hit three home runs in World Series games on multiple occasions. Joe DiMaggio won championships. Derek Jeter won championships. Mariano Rivera won championships. If you are going to be viewed as one of those greats, he has to come through in this moment. And this ends the debate of the Yankees. Will they ever do enough to help Judge during his prime? They've done enough. This team is good enough. We're going to get through a lot of it here over the next couple of hours before we get to the game on Friday night about the different matchups and how this team, if you look at it, has a lot of strengths over the Dodgers and is the better team in many matchups. The debate is over. When will they give him enough? Right now. When will this Yankee team make sure they're good enough in his prime to win a championship? That's over. It's right now. It's up to him to secure that championship in his prime. And so far, he hasn't done enough. It's time to step up now and become that Yankee great, to become that champion, and to settle once and for all. Will his career be mired as a Dan Marino? As an all-time great without the championships? And it's one thing if you do it for the Miami Dolphins. It's another if you do it for the New York Yankees. You will never be the beloved captain. You will never be one of the heroes of this franchise if he doesn't end his career with a World Series. Now, I think there's some pressure off of him and the rest of the team having already got there. But specifically for him, the pressure persists because he has to win a championship to be what he's supposed to be. It's no longer on Brian Cashman. It's no longer on Aaron Boone. It's no longer on Hal Steinbrenner to supply him with that team. He's got it. And he's right here tonight, starting tonight in a World Series where he is toe-to-toe with a team that they're just as good as. And it's up to him to deliver a championship to the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. So we start with that. We'll get into a bunch of different matchups. I have a thing on Giancarlo Stanton I want to talk about because I'm hearing a lot of from different people that the Cleveland Guardians just were awful. And they pitched him terribly and made a bunch of mistakes, and the Dodgers won't do that. We got to get into whether or not Giancarlo is just a mistake hitter or if Giancarlo is different in the postseason. Some advantages and different and disadvantages that these two teams have heading into it that I think will play big. But for me, the two key figures will be the two guys, because as great as Juan Soto is, as great as he is, and as much as he's been a focal point, and that home run is enormous, and we're all concerned about where he's going to go next year, and hopefully he becomes one of these guys I'm talking about in the next couple years that he has to justify his legacy or whatever the case may be. He's here for 1 year. He's had a great year. We don't know the future of him. What we do know is these two guys specifically have been the bookends of a team that's supposed to win a championship. These two guys, they have the best starting pitcher in the game, the best hitter in the game. You can't let it squander. It's not about Brian Cashman anymore. It's not about Hal Steinbrenner anymore. These two guys have to do their jobs. And you could argue they're the two central figures in this series that need to get it done to win a championship for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. Take your calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, but we are here. No more speculation. No more waiting around. Game day, Yankees, Dodgers, World Series, Game 1. Gerrit Cole on the mound, looking to go deep into this game and give the Yankees an advantage after 1. McMonagle here with you all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Your call's next right here on The Fan. All right, 2:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. And yeah, as we get started here, hold on here, it kicks in. Not my favorite intro, hold on. All right, there we go. As we get ready for this game one, I just couldn't help but think about legacy and pressure. And I've been, you know, I've been obviously the thoughts of Judge and Cole and the impact of them have been on my mind, but I wanted to, especially when Cole was game one, I wanted to get into it today specifically just because we're right on the heels of game one. But as we focus on legacy and then pressure, who's under the most pressure? And I saw the SNY crew earlier today talking about the pressure of Brian Cashman. And listen, I agree on some level. Like, to me, these are the two players who still hold the most pressure. Like, Brian Cashman, right, whatever you think about him, and I'm not here to, this conversation particularly isn't about to defend him or not. They had to get to the World Series. A lot of players and a lot of the GM, the owner, the manager, they had to get through this American League. They had to, especially, and we all agree, whether it's been taken to the nth degree, which I think is ridiculous, that these teams were easy and it was a cakewalk, I thought was stupid, but we all understood it. They're better than everybody else in the American League, and certainly once the Orioles and Astros, who I think they were better than as well, the Orioles played them tough in the regular season, and the Astros, you know, have dominated them in the postseason for half a decade plus. So I could understand why people, and it would have been a tougher road, no doubt, but I do think the Yankees were better than them as well. But they couldn't get stumbled up against the Royals and Cleveland. You couldn't. It would have been a major hit to this team. It would have been a major hit to Cashman and to Boone. And in many ways, just getting to the World Series, playing the last game, it's not good enough necessarily. It's not anything we're going to really take a praise forever, but it's enough to make you feel like, okay, Cashman did a pretty good job putting together a team that was right there with the Dodgers in the World Series, and Aaron Boone did a great job navigating to they made it to the World Series, first time since 09. There is some pressure off the idea they have to win. This is a Dodger team that they can beat, and it's about winning championships, but it's not the same as you can't lose to Cleveland. You can't lose to the Royals. You had to make it to the World Series. So I do think there is some pressure off, and even some of the other bats, in my mind, have now, you know, Jazz should have less pressure on them. Like, they've made it to the World Series. They're here. Go about winning. I think it should be a lot less tight. I'm hoping that the runners in scoring position get better because of it. But for me, there's two players that the pressure does not change for. And that's Cole and Judge. The pressure is still on them to bring a championship to justify why they were brought here. In the case of Gerrit Cole, who is like Catfish Hunter, who is like Reggie Jackson, the straw that stirs the drink. Like he was brought here to take a team, right? Reggie Jackson came here in 76. They were in the World Series. They got swept by the Reds. He was the guy brought here to put them over the top. Cole, same thing. Cole, the Yankees could not beat the Houston Astros. Couldn't beat them. Lost in the wild card in 15. Lost the ALCS in 17. Lost the ALCS in 19. And they went out there and took away their ace pitcher. They went out there and made the Astros worse and made the Yankees better. And it cost them $324 million to do so. And he's supposed to be the guy that takes them over the top, and still they can't get past the Astros. And still they don't make it to the World Series for the first 5 years. He was brought here to bring a championship here. That still is on the table. That still has not been accomplished. And Aaron Judge, it's a little bit different. Yeah, he's got to win a championship, but this is about, he is a profound talent that, in the upper echelon of the history of the sport, not just the New York Yankees. A lot of the history of the sport still presides with the New York Yankees. Amazingly enough, that's the kind of franchise they've been dating back 100 plus years, where Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, those are all the guys, Lou Gehrig, they are the guys we're talking about at the top of the history of the game in many ways. But he's one of the best hitters to ever live. Right? That's what we're seeing from him. And as much as I've downplayed the atrocity that has been his postseason, I don't think it's been an atrocity the way so many people do. It's not been good enough. And if he has a bad World Series and they lose to the Dodgers, this is going to be something that lives with him well past the next few weeks, well past this offseason, well past next year, and whatever he does. He has to win a championship. He has to be a part of it. He has to be a reason for it. Even being along for the ride, it helps. He'll have the ring. He'll be beloved. He'll always have the championship next to his name. He has to be a major part of at least one championship here, and it starts tonight. So let's go. And I getting ready for the calls here. I'm telling you right now, I'm pretty freaking enthusiastic, and I think the Yankees have an excellent chance to win this series. I'm going to get to it. We'll give you the final predictions. I'm going to give you a couple more matchups and a couple more things about these two teams that, in my mind, do speak to the Yankees having a bit of an edge here in this series. But make no mistake, the Dodgers are a legit team. The Dodgers have a lineup full of MVPs and Hall of Famers, and these two teams in these two buildings, I don't want to knock the other. Like, there's been a perception by some dopes out there that this is bad for baseball because they have two of the three highest payrolls in the sport, that this is some sort of, so you spend money, you win. Like, it's just not been the case in baseball. There's been more parity in the champions of baseball than almost any other sport. Kansas City's in the championship game in the Super Bowl every stinking year. The Patriots dominated for 20 years. The NBA, how many three-peats and repeat champions and, same MVPs and same championship games, and LeBron's in the championship game. He switches teams. It doesn't matter. He's in six straight NBA finals. This is the sport where it hasn't been like that. And if you're telling me you'd rather see the Rangers and the plucky, Arizona Diamondbacks, if that's more up your angle, if that's more up your alley for a World Series as opposed to Yankee Stadium, Dodger Stadium, Ohtani, Judge, Soto, Betts, Freeman, Stanton. You'd rather see, that fam, he's a great player in the postseason. All right, maybe that's you. I think this is about as amazing a spectacle as we've had, and I cannot wait for tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Dave and Comac. What's up, Dave?
I don't think they're winning anything, and I'm a Yankee fan.
Okay, well, I have no idea why you feel that way.
You don't have
Andy Pettit.
Right. You don't have Andy Pettit. You don't have Mariano Rivera. You don't have Cheetah. You don't have Mike Mussina. You don't have Sabathia.
Mike Messina never won a championship.
Okay. Anybody you don't else have can? Jordan Montgomery. you don't have Phil Koch. You don't have David Robertson, among other players. This team is, and their hitting is inconsistent. You can't rely on Derek Cole. Yeah.
Oh,
and
my God.
You don't have Aroldis
Chapman. Did you
Chapman
say Phil
either.
Koch?
Yeah.
Oh, my
Those
God.
Those are all the ones that were in those dynasty teams that
no,
you had.
Phil Koch was in an 09, okay?
And okay, Mike what about Messina? David Robinson?
Yeah,
Aroldis Chapman?
09. Aroldis Chapman never won a championship either, and it had walk-off hit after walk-off hit in the first season. What?
2008.
You don't even know what you're talking about, Dave. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I hate to laugh at you like that, but you deserve to be laughed at. You don't even know what you're talking about. They didn't win the championship in 08. Chapman wasn't on that team in 08 or 09. Phil Koch was in the 09 team. Congratulations. They don't have Phil Koch. How are they going to manage it? What are you talking about? My goodness. So they don't have the players who won it. They're in the World Series, you dope. Like, I mean, come on. The Dodgers don't have those players either. Not everything is measured against the Yankee dynasty that won 4 championships in 5 years. Like, yeah, that was a special group. I mean, what are we talking about here? They have Aaron Judge. Oh, Aaron Judge stinks. I know, because he had a bad he's had a subpar postseason for him, but he stinks. I get it. Like, it's just so dumb. Like, that was, I cannot believe that was the first call that we took today as we're getting ready for the World Series. I cannot believe, like, I saw that he was not confident. That's fine. We could talk that out. The next caller I'm going to take, Will, apparently, is not that confident. But to say, oh, they don't have Derek Jeter, they don't have Andy Pettit, they don't have Phil Koch. I mean, are we serious? Phil Koch. Half the audience right now doesn't even know who we're talking about. I mean, come on. They don't have. They have Weaver. They have Canely. They have Holmes. They have Cousins. They have Tim Hill. All of them have been great in the postseason. All of them. You can't trust Gerrit Cole. Can't trust him. What are you, nuts? He's one of the more trustable, for lack of a better word, I'm not sure trustable is a word. He's the more trustworthy, one of the more trustworthy starters in all of baseball. You can count on him more than almost anyone else. Who else are you counting on? Give me the starter you're counting on. Give me the guy you know will give you a better performance than look at the rest of this postseason. Who is he? Where's the guy? You can't count on Gerrit Cole. Stop it. I don't understand that at all. They just went through the American League like a hot knife through butter. They just beat up on the best relief pitchers in the sport. The best bullpen in the league this year was the Cleveland Guardian bullpen, right? And if they would have beat up on their starters or they shut down that offense and won games 2-0, 3-0, and the bullpen shut them down, I'd feel a lot more like, hey, well, listen, they beat up on the bad part of the Cleveland Guardians. They beat on the best part of the Cleveland Guardians. That's where they got them. They went toe-to-toe, bullpen to bullpen, and the Yankees was better. And they came through with big clutch hits against Smith and his 1.9 ERA, Gattis and his 1.6 ERA. Obviously, the greatest pitcher in the sport in Emmanuel Class A and his 0.6 ERA. 0.6! But they don't have Andy Pettit, so... You guys are nuts. Will in the Bronx. What's up, Will?
What's up, boss?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. First things first, I can't believe you said Phil Koch, first off.
Phil Koch. The Yankees don't have the great left-handed reliever, Phil Koch. How are they going to make it through?
I don't know, man. He's losing his mind.
And I feel like I remember him wanting to be called Philip, by the way. Put some respect on Philip Koch's name.
For real. I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel, how confident are the Yankees, well, Gerrit Cole and the Yankees, facing those first six lineups, first six batters from the lineup from the Dodgers, compared to the good solid four from the Yankees?
Yeah,
they have Jazz batting after Stanton.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Yankees are confident. I mean, I understand that's the That's where the Dodgers are elite, the top of the order. I think, I honestly, right now, if you take the top four, considering where Freddie Freeman is right now with that ankle, I think you could take the top four of the New York Yankees and make a very strong case it's better than the top four of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, I would argue that the way Gleyber Torres is performing right now, Torres, Soto, Judge, Stanton, and the way Stanton's hitting in the postseason is better than Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez. Only if Freeman was healthy and swinging it great, I don't know how I'd feel. But considering how Stanton and Gleyber are going, and the idea that I would put them both over Mookie Betts this year, Mookie Betts had a lot to deal with injuries. I think, you know, Ohtani's right there with the three of them. But I would put Judge and Soto above Mookie Betts at the moment. Anything could happen in this series. But I would take that top four. So I ask you, how do the Yankees feel? How do the Dodgers feel? Because if you want to say the Yankees, you can't trust Gerrit Cole, you could trust Flaherty? You feel good about that? You feel good about Walker Buehler? Let me tell you something right now. I know the fans are going to look at the Dodgers and how many runs they scored in the NLCS, and I'm not trying to knock the Mets. They had a great year. The Mets were fried by the end. The Mets pitching staff was completely fried. The Mets were playing playoff games for a month prior to the playoffs. By the time they got to the end of their season there, by the time they got to that Dodger series, Manaea was completely cooked practically. The bullpen, who did they have? Maton was no longer any good. Buehler was no longer any good. You had Stanek, Diaz, and maybe Reed Garrett. Like, that was it. And I would argue that the Yankee counterparts to those three guys are all better for the New York Yankees. Diaz has had a better career. Right now, I would trust Weaver to Diaz. Weaver's been better over the last month than Diaz has been. And I think the other two, whether it's whoever, Canley, all the guys are better than Stanek and Reed Garrett. This Yankee bullpen has performed. I do not think the Dodgers are going to just score all the runs. Like, this Yankee team is rested. Gerrit Cole is rested. Rodon's been pretty damn good in the postseason. Like, the matchups here, the starting, and I talk about it, to me, and we're going to get to this when I talk about MVPs. I think, without question, Gerrit Cole has an opportunity to be the most influential player on this team and the biggest key of the biggest determining factor of this postseason, of this World Series. There's no doubt in my mind. If he can go deep into these games, he's got a chance to pitch in three of them, possibly start three of them. And his ability to go deep into games like really no other pitcher on this in this World Series. Doesn't mean he will, but he has the opportunity to. He has the ability to. Because when you look at it, I'm going to get into this matchup a little bit later when I get more specific into how these bullpens go. The way the Dodgers get into their bullpen and the way, even the Yankees have gotten into the bullpen, you're not going through three times, right? You're not going through the order three times unless you're Gerrit Cole. And when you talk about only going through the order twice, you could be talking about four or five at-bats, right? Let's say five for the top four guys, at least. That's three times. Three. You have to get out every game. Because that's how, look at the way they throw bullpen games. They don't, Buehler's going to go two or three innings. Flaherty has a chance, if he pitches really well, to go deep into the game. Really, this game one is going to be a telling game in many ways. But you get into these bullpens, and you don't want to go through three times around. That means three outs the Yankees have to get versus Ohtani. Three outs the Yankees have to get versus Mookie Betts. Three outs the Yankees have to get, the bullpen has to get against Freddie Freeman. Three times Teoscar Hernandez. And the same thing the other way. The Dodger bullpen has to get three outs from Gleyber, three outs from Soto, three outs from Judge every night. Every night. That's what the bullpen has to do every single night. And you want to talk about numbers, starting pitchers, seeing the same part of the lineup three times in a game? Look at the numbers of relievers who face the same batter three times in a short series. I've been talking about this all week long. The bullpens, when they get overused and overseen by the end of these series, you can't throw the same pitchers over and over again to these guys. And that's why the biggest difference to me is Juan Soto. And again, we'll get to this when I get to my MVPs. I got a couple of options at MVPs. But Juan Soto, right now, there's a chance another lefty comes off the IL and into the bullpen for the Dodgers. But they have Banda. That's it. They have one reliever, left-handed reliever. One. So if you go through, let's say this goes the full seven, just for argument's sake. Every single game, they have to get Juan Soto out of the bullpen three times. They have one left-handed reliever. That's 21 plate appearances. 21 for Juan Soto throughout a series that the bullpen's going to have to get him out. Where are they going to get him out 21 times? Where are they going? They got one lefty reliever. One. How many times are you going to allow him to face? You're going to allow him to face Juan Soto seven times? Six, seven times? I promise you, by the third and fourth time, Juan Soto's going to have it patched just like he did in Game 5 of the ALCS when he's on everything. You can't let Juan Soto see these guys over and over and over again. Same thing with Ohtani. Assuming the same thing, 21 outs against Ohtani. How do they get it out of the bullpen? At least they have Hill, and now it sounds like we're still waiting on the final roster, Nestor Cortez. Like, at least they have two options. Plus, you throw in Meza. Plus, the changeups out of Canely play well against lefties. Like, at least, like that, the Yankees have a couple more options to go and attack over the course of a series, Ohtani. What are the Dodgers going to do against Juan Soto? How many of those 21 at-bats can they throw the same pitchers? Like, to me, that's the key. It's the key of the whole series. And that's why to start the game and to use cold starts to get deep into the game to hide this bullpen a little bit is so important. Because you have so many outs to get these guys over the course of a short series, and the bullpen's not that deep. Wayne in Montauk. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, how's it going? How's everything? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
You know, you basically touched on everything I was going to say, like, you know, with the lineups and all. I mean, also you got to remember that, you know, it's in the past, but you got to take into consideration that Stanton, you know, he hits the Dodger, you know, he hits the Dodger Stadium. I think he's got 10 home runs.
He does.
Like 25.
And him and Judge both have great numbers against the Dodgers, both have great numbers in Dodger Stadium, both from the West Coast. Cole from the West Coast, too. So there is that element, and both of them, Stanton and Judge, have very good numbers against this team and in this building.
Yeah, and another thing is that I'm getting sick of hearing is, like, I mean, no doubt about it. You know, I'm hearing this from Mets fans. Oh, we had a harder schedule, this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like we went against the Royals and the Guardians and had a problem. I mean, we beat them pretty easily, and we didn't play our best ball.
No, you know? Totally
we
true.
We didn't play our best ball. So it's like, you know, what I'm hearing is, oh, you know, they won two games against the Dodgers, and I'm hearing, oh, the Dodgers in five, and I just think that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, I think we can match the Dodgers. I think we actually got much better pitching than the Dodgers starters, at least.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about the
I would argue, I think you could argue, and thank you for the call, I think you could argue the biggest difference in this series is the starting pitching. I think that's the biggest difference, either team having advantage on the other. The biggest advantage in this series is the Yankee starting rotation over the Dodger starting rotation. That's the biggest one. You could argue the Dodger bullpen's better. I think you could argue the Yankee bullpen's better. But even if, let's just give that argument, let's just give that unit to the Dodger team in this series. It's not that much better than the Yankee bullpen. It's just not. You want to say the lineup's better? Okay, the lineup's better. That's fine. Let's say the Dodger lineup is better. It's not that much better. It can't be that much better. I know they've scored some runs here. They face lesser pitching than the Yankees have, believe it or not, than the Dodgers have. But despite the fact they had this cakewalk, look at the teams. Look at them. Who has better starting pitching, the Dodgers or the Kansas City Royals? Who has better starting pitching? Reagans, Seth Lugo, Waka, all of them would be a better third-game option than what the Dodgers are throwing out. All three of them would be better third-game options, and the two would be game one starters.
Both of those guys, Reagans and Seth Lugo, you could argue would start over Flaherty in a game one. There's no doubt. And Waka would be the third starter for the Dodgers without question. And then you get into the bullpen of Cleveland. Cleveland's bullpen is far better than the Dodgers' bullpen. It has been all year. The Yankees didn't make it look like that, but it's been better all year. The Yankees have faced tougher pitching. They've had an easier opponent offensively, no doubt. But they have faced tougher pitching than this Dodger team did. To assume the Dodgers is going to pound the New York Yankees, anything could happen. I don't think it's fair to assume it. I think this is going to be a long, hard-fought series. I would be shocked if this is five games or less. I would really be surprised. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. On game day, game one of the World Series, Yankees-Dodgers. You know, we talk about that bullpen, and I mentioned I wanted to get deeper into the idea of how many outs they have to get out of the bullpen, because I think it's fascinating when you put it in numbers like that. Like, when you say it the way I'm saying it, when you really look at it and go, you could assume five at-bats from these guys at the top of the order for both teams. And the starters, especially for the Dodgers, and even the back end of the rotation for the Yankees, they're not going through a third time. They're just not. The Yankees aren't allowing them to do it. So, I mean, you're talking about getting three outs a game from the top guys in both of these lineups from your bullpen. Over the course of a long series, it's impossible to hide. It's impossible to expect, no matter how good the reliever is, no matter how much you believe in Weaver, no matter how much, you know, Kopech throws 100 miles an hour for the Dodgers. Do you expect them to get Judge out every single time in every single game? Like, it's just, it's tough. Eventually, you get a good look at a guy. Eventually, you get very familiar with the ball coming out of his hand. Eventually, you've seen all his pitches, and nothing fools you. And he knows you, and you know how he's trying to get you out, and you know his sequences. Like, it's tough. That's why the innings for the starting pitching is so important, and that's why game one is so important. That's why Cole is so important, and I think the X factor in this series. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of it. Talk about another matchup where the Dodgers and Yankees are very similar in one aspect and very different in another, and how that could play into this series. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back after the break. Update. Continue to take your calls on this game one of the World Series until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.